Murray Mealer here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. As we turn the corner on the pandemic, nearly half of all Americans are uneasy about how to socialize safely. And our guest calls this fear of going out, pandemic anxiety. It could be even be PTSD. It's real, and we'll be talking about how to manage it. Shyla Mergain back with us, a distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. She specializes in using mind-body medicine to treat chronic medical problems, adjustment issues, mood, and anxiety disorders. So lots we can talk about with her. And we'd love to hear from you. What makes you nervous about socializing or gathering? Have you found ways to make folks feel comfortable while getting together? How did getting vaccinated change your level of anxiety? There are lots of things we can talk about with her. And I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Shyla Mergain, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a delight and an honor to be with you talking about such an important topic.
So what does this fear of going out look like?
Well, we think about prior to the pandemic, many people had FOMO, fear of missing out. But now, 15 months later, we see that there is a lot of uncertainty and anxiety about returning to the world, of going back into in-person interactions, of going inside with others. And the American Psychological Association Stress in America survey came out in March, and it had a lot of data of how people were doing physically and mentally, and we can unpack some of that. But a really significant finding is that they found that nearly 50% of Americans reported that they feel either they feel uncomfortable with returning to life as it was before the pandemic, and they also reported concern about starting to reengage in those one-on-one, face-to-face kinds of conversations. And so if listeners are feeling some anxiety about what I'm calling this fourth quarter of the pandemic, where we kind of see the end in sight, things are improving, we're returning to normal, but there's also a lot of unpredictability and uncertainty, that if you're feeling anxiety, you're certainly not alone.
So I'm wondering, I assume that, maybe this is the wrong assumption, that if you're vaccinated, you're going to feel better about this than if you're unvaccinated.
You know, I think that's definitely can be the case, and that's such an encouragement for people to get vaccinated. The science is strong that vaccines work, and certainly the CDC's recent changes to the guidelines really highlight how that being vaccinated really provides that safety in going back into face-to-face interactions without wearing a mask. However, many people, even if you're vaccinated, are experiencing no mask anxiety. I think these masks, when you think about 15 months ago, Larry, we weren't wearing masks. I had never worn a mask, you know, before in my life. And I remember the first time putting it on and how uncomfortable it felt. It felt really awkward. And I was thinking, oh, I don't like this. But those masks have become a safety blanket, so to speak. They symbolize a sense of protection. And certainly they have been very protective. So many people are, even if they are vaccinated, feel some uncertainty of removing the mask or going out even.
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, there are probably, if you think about it, there's probably some things that happened in this past year that have made us anxious about things we weren't anxious about before.
Yeah, very much so. And if you look at the SARS and Ebola outbreak, we actually found that there was a rise in agoraphobia after those epidemics, that people actually literally became afraid of leaving the house. And for many people, you know, that sense of safety has been really staying close to home, sheltering at home, maybe keeping a really tight, small circle of people you're interacting with. And the thought of You know, there's some uncertainty with the thought of going back out in the world, resuming normal activities, and many people can start to get into a pattern of avoidance. And caution is good, but we don't want to avoid when we're feeling anxious. Instead, it's so important to approach. You know, anxiety makes us want to avoid, back away, not do it, but it can box us in and also cause significant mental health challenges long term. So when we're dealing with FOGO, fear of going out, we really want to start to approach in safe ways, getting back into some of those new, maybe normal rhythms that we want that will really allow us to flourish.
Shaila Merguin, our guest today, talking with her about re-entering the world after a pandemic. Have you had some experiences that you can share about this? What makes you nervous about socializing or gathering? Or maybe you found ways to make folks comfortable while getting together. Give a call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Stick a call. Dennis in Two Rivers, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I've been fully vaccinated for a couple of weeks, but I still go out and wear a mask, and I'm relieved when I see other people wearing masks. And supposedly it's supposed to be like 90% effective. But then with all the stuff we hear about in these new variants, I wonder, well, I don't know if that's kind of like the opposite of confirmation bias, where I think, well, okay, maybe I'm not so safe. Because with confirmation bias, I would think, oh, gee, that confirms I'm safe. But then I feel, well, maybe not quite.
What do you think, Shaila?
Yeah, I think you're not alone in that, Dennis, of feeling more comfortable wearing the mask or feeling a sense of calm seeing others. I mean, we do know that all COVID-19 vaccines authorized by the FDA for COVID-19 are extremely effective in preventing serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. However, there are still pockets of the population who are not vaccinated. So many still have to wear a mask, like children ages 5 to 11, or for those people maybe who have who are autoimmune compromised and are not vaccinated. And so, you know, that there may be some comfort level for a while to continue to wear a mask. And then you might even do some little experiments just to build up that sense of safety and comfort, such as maybe you take a walk outside with a friend without a mask, or maybe you go indoors with one relative who you also know is vaccinated without a mask. So I think, you know, we really want to take some small incremental steps towards really safely exposing ourselves to experiences that trigger a feeling of anxiety. So we can really start to develop resilience, that confidence again, and really building that new, better normal for ourselves.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call. Cheryl in Conover, we'll go to you. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have children in Madison and children in Milwaukee, and we live way up north. And all I'm going to say is when the lockdown happened and we're doing our thing, we had driveway visits with the grandchildren in the snow. Our children did a great job giving us heated blankets. We spent Christmas on the front porch in Monona, and we spent more Christmas in Wauwatosa. And we just made it fun. What we tried to do is be positive about the fact that we couldn't touch each other. We couldn't hug each other. And my little grandkids, it was the hardest with the 2 and 4-year-old. I wanted so much to hug them and smush them. But we knew we couldn't do it because grandpa and grandma would die if they got COVID-19. And I don't want to die. So I'm wearing my mask today and I'm fully vaccinated.
There you go, Cheryl. Thanks. A comment, Shaila.
Oh, Cheryl, well, hopefully you can hug and smush those grandkids now that you're vaccinated. And I just love hearing how you and your family were creative and created fun, you know, just the image of you sitting outside in the snow. We had a kind of a pretty cold, snowy winter this year, you know, but maybe building snowmen or making snow angels or having that fire under the heated blanket. I think, and I think you brought up such a great point to stay positive, right? Again, I think about this fourth quarter of the pandemic, there are highs and lows, challenges, successes, but that really that one of the core skills of well-being is that sense of a positive outlook, to look for the good, to savor the things that are going right, to laugh, build that connection. And it seems like you're doing all those things right. And thanks for sharing that with the listeners today.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you, Cheryl. Suzanne in Madison. Hi.
Yes. Hello, Larry. I have a very serious illness, and I'm in chemotherapy at this point. I had an allergic reaction, rare allergic reaction, to my first shot, so I couldn't do the second shot. And at this point, I've just accepted that I'm going to have to wear a mask wherever I go, whether I'm with family or not. And my family and I are working all of this out. So I just want you to comment on how to keep in mind that people out with serious illnesses may not be able to feel as free as other people do about unmasking.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. I have something good to talk about for sure, Shyla.
Yeah, Suzanne, first I just want to wish you well on your journey your illness and receiving chemotherapy. And it just seems like you have a great spirit and really remarkable hearing about how you're keeping yourself safe. And yes, I think you just bring up such an important point we really want to reiterate for people who are autoimmune compromised or maybe have a serious illness, that they have to potentially wear masks for extra safety precautions, because we know that's effective in preventing COVID-19. And so that, you know, we don't want to judge others if we see them wearing masks, that we don't know the full story of what might be going on for them, and wanting to really create acceptance around people's individual choices going forward.
All good points. And we have much more to talk about with our guest today, Shyla Morgain, UW psychologist. Always great to have her with us. And we'll be continuing our conversation right up till 12:30 today. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with Shyla Morgain. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Talking about managing anxiety and staying safe as pandemic restrictions are lifted. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks to Shyla Morgain for being back with us. She's a distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. She's an expert in mental health, mood, and anxiety disorders. So I'd love to hear from you. How do you see pandemic PTSD affecting those around you? What advice or tips do you have for folks slowly making their way back to normal? What's your experience been like? Join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Shyla, somebody was wondering or maybe questioning, really, PTSD symptoms? Some folks are experiencing this.
Yeah, you know, when we think about all the changes we've had to go through and the losses, some of that can be traumatic. Maybe you've lost a loved one to COVID, or you lost a job and there have been financial challenges, or you've really become isolated during the pandemic. Those can certainly have some traumatic aspects to it and can lead to an increase in psychological conditions or an exacerbation of pre-pandemic mental health issues.
Yes,
and, you know, Larry, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Shiloh. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think this is in alignment to that other part of that Stress in America 2021 report that I wanted to highlight, where they highlight that there's been a new wave of pandemic health concerns. And I think this is really striking data. They found 61% reported experiencing undesired weight changes. 67% said they were sleeping more or less than they wanted to. 47% said they delayed or canceled healthcare services. And 23% reported drinking more alcohol to cope with their stress. And there are some long-term implications to our health when we're engaging in these maladaptive ways of coping with stress. And there were four particular vulnerable groups. Those were parents, especially of young children, essential workers, young people, and people of color. And again, there's grief and trauma that's been part of this pandemic that can have long-term individual and societal consequences and, some added strain even on the nation's healthcare system.
Yeah, and we just got another news story about nervous workers who are struggling to adjust to the new policies relating to masks. There's a bit of uncertainty there and worry that people who customers who have not gotten vaccinations but are not wearing masks, might just continue to do that. And so workers are struggling with this.
Yes, I saw on social media last night, somebody asked, how many days should your employer give you before you have to return to the office? Because so many people have been working virtually. And the person asked, is 3 days sufficient time? And many people were commenting, no. And I think it just strikes at a lot of people are having anxiety about returning to the office in person. Workplace interactions, and for those who are essential workers or people who are already in that place of business dealing with customers, I think you're right. There is no way to know if somebody who's not wearing a mask is vaccinated or not, and how do you keep yourself safe? And I think the number one way is to get vaccinated. That is the most effective way that you can, get vaccinated. And I think some workers are going to continue to wear masks for the foreseeable future. I think about, as we're returning to life and not wearing masks, we just might need to do it in small increments and really go at our own pace with it. That those small incremental steps towards safely exposing yourself to others can trigger anxiety, and doing it, in a small kind of planned way can give us that sense of increased control.
Sam in Madison has a comment I believe that relates to this. Sam, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to say, my group of friends, we're all vaccinated now. And, the CDC has said that it's safe for us to all get together. But there's definitely been some anxiety in my group of friends. I sat down with dinner with some friends for the first time. We hadn't sat down with them in a year. And my friend had to get up and leave the table because she hadn't been that close to somebody, sitting across the table from somebody in over a year. And we had to be very supportive of, be like, we understand that you have anxiety. And so I guess my question is, what's a good way to be supportive and an ally towards people who are going to be experiencing this anxiety? But on the other hand, too, I'm also experiencing a lot of people who, are in denial of this whole thing even existing and kind of doesn't understand why people are having anxiety. So what's a better way to deal with both sides of that coin?
Good question. Shiloh, what do you think?
Yeah, Sam, thank you so much for bringing that up. And you sound like you have a great group of friends all vaccinated. Way to go. And I think the story you share of that your friend first time eating out, I don't know if it was panic or a surge in anxiety that she had to walk away, I think is actually going to be somewhat typical. I mean, when you think about it, we haven't done things like this for a year and a half. Just over a year ago, we started wearing masks. That's been our normal. And there is going to be some awkwardness, since a level of weirdness or anxiety after doing something that had been previously not recommended. Like, as you said, hanging out maskless, eating dinner with your friends. And I think the number one thing is just to validate it, what you did with your friend. You just created some space to say, hey, what's going on? You know, it makes sense you're feeling anxious or nervous. There's nothing wrong with that. And so, you know, you name it to tame it. And so just putting words to it and normalizing it. Again, going back to that data, over 50% of people are feeling that kind of level of anxiety. I think number two, one of the things I'm seeing a lot, both in adults and in children, is a lack of social skills. We're just simply out of practice. A week ago, I had two girlfriends over, and we sat outside just drinking some tea, and we were all saying, we're just out of practice. We haven't seen each other in person in, I don't know, 10 months, a year. And, you know, felt kind of awkward. And we just laughed about it. We said, well, we just have to practice. So, and especially when you think about kids, right? They've missed out, especially with their virtual schooling. They missed out on some of those developmental milestones this past year that would have naturally happened if they were in person in a classroom in a pre-pandemic kind of state. And so a little bit of coaching, a little bit of encouragement, and again, just normalizing it, that other people will feel awkward too, so you're not alone. And then lastly, as you said, you know, people are on different ends of the spectrum. Some people might feel very comfortable not wearing masks. Maybe they're, you know, in a community or part of the country where they haven't had to very much, while other people feel like, I'm going to keep wearing the mask for the foreseeable future. And just not to judge, you know, everyone is doing what's right for them. And the biggest thing if somebody is judging you is to not take it personally. You know, you need to do what's right for you and your family.
Sam, thank you again. Appreciate it. A listener emailed that he's a mailman and never took a day off during the virus. A lot of carriers, USPS, UPS, FedEx, and so on, feel like they were treated like they were expendable rather than essential. Personally, his anxiety has been through the roof since the beginning of this and still is. Luckily, he hasn't caught anything yet, even though he's been in contact with hundreds and hundreds of people since this all started. People, the customers, for the most part, don't ever come out and say hi, or they stand very far away or tell out the door to just set the parcels down away from the house. Like he has, and the other carriers have the plague. I'm out here every day and feel like I'm in my own little world alone while delivering everything people order. Expendable is the feeling. Depressed is the emotion. He's scared he'll eventually catch something from someone while doing his job, which never seems done well enough to many people.
Yeah, Larry, you know, I think both you and I can really feel for that mailman. And thank you so much for writing in about your experience. I think it'll give some comfort and even hope to others, because you're certainly not alone. And first, I just want to say you are a pandemic hero. I really want you to hear that, you know, just think you haven't missed a day. All weather, you know, you've done it and not necessarily received the support that you needed. And I think, you know, that experience is probably similar to many essential workers or people who've been on the front lines or who are just doing their job in really different kinds of ways. You second speak to loneliness and isolation. Before the pandemic, you know, Larry, there was an epidemic of loneliness. I think you and I even did a show about this pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just skyrocketed for particular people who are living alone, or as the person writing in whose job doesn't have a lot of in-person interactions. And it's been challenging not being able to see people's faces, you know, not being able to get that hug, not being able to hang out in close proximity in a way that you know, for many months this past year. And I think it's really taken a toll on our mental and physical health and maybe caused us to develop some poor coping strategies with stress, which I really highlighted. But here's the thing, you know, we're at such a unique moment in the pandemic, again, this fourth quarter, where there's a pivot that we do see the lights at the end of the tunnel. We are, as in the U.S., really getting to the other side. And it's really an opportunity to really reassert taking care of ourselves, you know, engaging in some self-care practices, maybe picking up a healthy habit, maybe reducing one of those unhealthy habits. working on stress management techniques. And in particular, I think the last one I just want to highlight, we're in an opportunity to even redefine our identity, to think about who do I want to be now in this next phase of my chapter. You know, there's so much work we maybe took for granted in the past that now we really have a deep appreciation for. There's also maybe some new things that we want to keep, like maybe really greater appreciation for family and home that we've developed. And I think, again, there's this sense of what's most important. You know, how do I want to spend my time? What are those values that we can use to really craft who we want to be going forward?
Very good points. Let's take another call. Mona in Appleton, thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the mail carrier. I have a friend that is in a different town. She did get COVID, and she was also upset about people not wanting to touch the packages and leaving them out there, but then she's got to carry them around. This is when it was really, the numbers are really high. And I also thought about the whole thing because of her. I guess I think about it more, appreciating my mail carrier, and I put a sticker right. You can buy them online. It's a little old-fashioned mail truck with a heart on it. It says, thank you, and you stick it right in there. They open it up, and I saw him out there taking a picture of it. And so he really liked that. I think that really means little stuff like that, and a $10 bill or a $20 bill in their Christmas card, little things like that. I think people need to do stuff like that. They're all know the weather.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Mona, thank you so much. Shyla, comment.
Oh, Mona, I was tearing up as you were sharing that. Just what a heartwarming story. And I just think let's have a catalyst here to invite all listeners to do something for their mail carrier or maybe an essential worker, or it could even be, you know, that person who's checking you out in the grocery store. And I loved your idea of just printing out that thing and writing thank you. Or, you know, in the holidays, I know I always give a small money amount to my mail carrier, or just taking the time to stop, get out of that autopilot rush and just interact with this person and saying something as simple as, you know, thank you for all that you do. That just could make somebody's day, in the case of Mona, unlike it did in that he was taking a photo of it. And, you know, I think, again, when we think about our own well-being and managing stress, generosity is one of the best things we can do that benefits us. Getting outside of ourselves, helping somebody or expressing gratitude for something that somebody has done, it helps the other person, but it actually even helps us more. So maybe we could have a takeaway for listeners to do one thing, to thank your mail carrier or an essential worker, maybe somebody you might have taken for granted, and that just really might make that person's day.
This gives more great advice. You could still join in. Some time left at 1-800-642-1234. Where do you suggest, by the way, people go to get the detailed and the factual COVID-19 information if we're feeling anxious about an activity?
You know, that's great. A great question, because we also want to focus on the facts. We want to make sure we're staying up to date, you know, to check the CDC guidelines, but also check local guidelines as well. The state, you know, our state guidelines, federal guidelines, but also if you're traveling, make sure to check out the local guidelines of where you're traveling these upcoming warmer summer months ahead.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, part of this is whole thing, this adjustment, you know, to something that we viewed as a threat. If you're vaccinated, the cases go down, more activities are safe. But it is hard for many people, maybe the majority of people, for our brains to accept that.
It can, and it also happens pretty suddenly. You know, it's kind of like overnight, at least on the federal level. It's like, okay, now it's safe. You know, just after a whole, well, really 15 months of saying it's not safe. So I think you're right. And, you know, you think about our brain tends to over-anticipate and over-predict threats. And so we might need to push ourselves a little bit to do some of those things as we start to go back out in the world and interact with people and maybe not wear a mask if we're vaccinated. We might need to push ourselves and do things that make us feel a little anxious until they're not anxiety causing. You know, we don't want anxiety ruling our life, driving the bus of our life or the direction of our life, because anxiety will box us in if we let it. And so safely, again, just, you know, taking some small steps towards reintegration. And it's almost like little mini experiments that really, really provide us the proof that, that we are safe.
I kind of chuckled when you were talking about your social skills being a little rusty. I just had a birthday party where I had, there were probably 30 people at the house, and all were vaccinated. All had both vaccinations. But I think it was, it took a little, you know, they're talking around a bit to sort of get back into feeling like this is my gang of friends and, or a gang of my friends, and just socializing with them was finally fun. It took a few minutes though.
It does, Larry, and it sounds like a great party there. And I think you're spot on that, you know, you might get together for the first time with people. And you might notice a lot of tension in your body. You might notice you're holding your breath. You might get a sense of discomfort if somebody's coming too close to you, even if you know everyone's vaccinated and it's safe. So, you know, again, you can just laugh about it. You can reflect on it, talk about it, and also, you know, take care of your body by just doing some mindfulness of maybe just taking, one of my favorite practices is 2 feet, one breath, just put 1 foot on the ground, the second foot on the ground, and taking one breath in and out, a long, deep breath, just to calm your mind and your body, and then proceed. And, you know, I think, again, there's just going to be a little bit of awkwardness and anxiety as we start to do some of these things again. And it's just part of the journey right now.
Let's go to Molly in Wauwatosa. Hi, Molly.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate the essential workers. At times, I felt as if very stressed about protecting my health and felt that I wasn't really supported some of the time. I had one gentleman, I asked a lady if she would kindly mask up while she talked to me because I was immunocompromised, and she refused, and a man in the hallway going out the breezeway from the grocery store started screaming at me and telling her in profanity, telling her she didn't have to do what I asked her to do. And so we hit all extremes on this. And what keeps me going back to work is exactly that comment of thank you. You know, thank you for your service. And I find that my home life, the supportive home life, my friends, family, outdoors, and all of those things have helped so much, and people who, you know, are a little more like-minded, like myself. My other concern was that the essential workers were not lined up from grocery stores to get our shots right away, so we were out there in the breeze. And so anyway, I just wanted to put my two cents in there, and I appreciate the breathing comments. That's been helping me, too.
Well, Molly, thanks for what you do as a grocery worker. And here we are, probably into our last minute, Shyla. Comments on Molly's comments.
Yeah, Molly, thank you for everything that you do. And I'm struck by your courageous, your courage in that courageous conversation to ask that person to wear a mask. And just kind of lastly, what it strikes me is, instead of me, we're going into a we phase and that sense of connectedness. So we can all foster connection through some kindness, both to ourselves, connection with ourselves, but also kindness towards another. And, you know, I think that's kind of the world we want to create, is that kindness, connection, appreciation for all the diversity that is this beautiful world we live in.
Shyla, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. Look forward to your next visit. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry. Can't wait to be back.
Shyla Mergain, UW psychologist. Great to have her back with us today. And she'll come back again, I'm sure, and we'll talk with her on another occasion, maybe about something different, maybe about some of the same. We look ahead to tomorrow and Garden Talk. It's, my goodness, it's Friday. Melinda Myers will be back on Friday to talk about getting your garden ready for the season. She'll share some planting tips. That's tomorrow at 11 on the Ideas Network and Saturday mornings at 6. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.